Well, that's always, you know, the thing that keeps, you know, me going is that, you know, there's always a new crop of kids coming up that want to, you know, still have the dream of being rock stars and making music, you know, and being successful at it. You know, I mean, I just had a band in over the weekend. These kids are great, man. That they were so in, you know, they're so into the Beatles, and you know, their songs are so inspired by the Beatles, and they wanted to use, you know, the same drums and the same mics and the same, you know, mic pre's, blah blah blah. You know, they just, you know, they knew, you know, the whole history of how, you know, every song was recorded and how they got this sound and how they got that sound. And, you know, they told me things that I didn't even know. And it was, you know, it was great, you know, so.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, you know, so.
That gives me hope.
Yeah, that's some hope.
That gives me hope.
They're out there, you know. Yeah. The kids are out there, you know. You'd be surprised. I mean, even though, you know, we're not hearing it per se on, you know, terrestrial radio, you know,
right.
Because, you know. The Rat or 104.3, whatever. They're not playing any new music. It's all, you know. But the music's out there. You just got to search for it. There's a lot of great bands out there. There really is. It just takes a little investigating.
Yeah.
You know. What my hope is that they build enough of an audience and a listening culture to perpetuate the greatest gift that the humankind has is music.
Music, yeah.
Yeah, nothing. No.
That's
performing
what,
art.
What separates us from the animals, right?
God, man, there isn't a movie or anything that would be successful without music.
Yeah.
Nothing, man.
That's true.
Nothing. There is nothing that moves the human spirit
yeah.
like music. And nothing motivates the creativity like making music
yeah.
to me. I don't know. That's why I picked up the guitar when I saw the Beatles. I was like, my, you got to get me a guitar.
That was it, huh? That was the moment?
Was Beatles? 63. A lot of 63.
People, yeah. It just happened. It was an anniversary just the other day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that because, you know, I'm old enough to remember it. You know, I don't say unfortunately because I don't really consider myself anything but seasoned.
You don't look old. You don't look old.
I'll be 63 in April.
I'd say like maybe 38, 39.
Whatever. Now you're full of shit. But the thing is that, you know, I remember Ed Sullivan going, you know, the Beatles and
yeah.
all these kids screaming. And I don't remember what the first song they did was Love Me Do or She Loves You, Yeah, 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 whatever yeah. it was. You know, I saw those guys holding those guitars and I saw those kids screaming. But most of all, the music. You know, that music, though, they sang harmony, and they had this thing. And, you know, I turned around, my mother had her hands over her mouth because the hair was touching their ears. And that was the reason why, to me, this was why I wanted to
I'm
do
growing
it.
Growing my hair,
because it lit
Ma.
Her off. Yeah, it pissed her off. You know, I want to grow my hair. I was, you know, I hated getting a haircut, and I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old when I saw the Beatles on TV. Yep, that was the first time America ever saw them. I was like,
yeah.
This is it. Then the Birds came, and Eric Burdon and the Animals. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
House of the Rising Sun. I was,
you know, that one.
Yeah, yeah. What was the other one? We Got to Get Out of This Place. That, I mean, God,
yeah,
all that was incredible.
Well, that's
incredible.
That's what lit us up. I mean, that's what made us, you know, want to do what we do. You know, it's crazy how it, you know, they took it from us and then sent it back.
Yeah.
You know, and,
sent it back, yep.
Yeah, you know?
Yep. Yeah, but then, you know, you still had some of the American, you know, I look at, you know, I listen to Bird songs now, old, you know, My Back Pages and Turn, Turn, Turn and Mr. Tambourine Man. And then I hear Tom Petty and I'm like, dude, you have totally, totally copped Roger McGuinn. You're doing Roger McGuinn.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not that it was anything wrong with it. That was just what he did.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has their influences.
They had their influence.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
I mean, don't you see all the Elvis and the Beatles, you know, when they were first doing their thing?
Yes.
You know? I mean, it's.
Yes, yep.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know.
Everybody was stealing from.
No, they were being influenced by.
Influence, correct.
Yes. Right. Yeah, yep. You know, I will never, ever say I stole something. I will say I took inspiration from.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's not because. I'm a thief,
right.
And I don't want to be recognized as one.
You can't help it.
No, it hit me.
Yeah.
It hit me. Now, what can I do with this?
Right. Like, I
you know?
Want to write a song like
now
that.
Now, I'm going to turn this into something because it inspired me.
Yeah.
No?
Well, you know, I think every great has done that. I mean, look at our buddy Jimmy Page, right?
Yeah.
He He certainly lifted a few things in his day. And
he certainly did.
But he made it into his own.
That's the thing. Yeah. You make it into your own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got a great Jimmy Page story, don't you, Dan? Well, at least a Jimmy Page story. I don't know if it's great, but...
Yeah. No. Well, there was... back in New Orleans, they loved New Orleans. Led Zeppelin loved New Orleans back in the 70s.
Yeah.
That was kind of the hub. And they were, it was a sneaky thing because they would fly into... We used to call it Moy's Aunt Airport. It's now whatever. It's New Orleans International Airport. Louis Armstrong Airport. So... they would fly in on the sly, and they would go in the French Quarter, and they would hang out. And they would go to Chicago and do their date, and they would come back. They would go to Tampa and do their date and come back. There was a girl named Mary, and her father owned a New Orleans entertainment publication called Figaro. And she was a lead singer in a band, and she was, you know, so I knew her. So we were friends because we were all in bands. And I was probably 2 years before I came up here. So it was probably 20 at the time, 19, 20 years old. So she calls me, and it was like a Tuesday afternoon. And she says, hey, I want you to meet me at the Royal Orleans in the lobby. Can you get free? And I said, yeah, what's going on? She goes, just meet me. I said, all right. So, you know, 15 minutes, I'm at the Royal Orleans, and she's there. We walk into, I forgot the name of the bar at the time, but there was a bar. And we sat down at a table. And she said, I'm doing an interview, and I thought you might be interested in this interview. She said, so just hang out. Okay. So this little guy comes walking over with curly dark hair. It's Jimmy Page, and he sits down at the table. And she introduces herself, and she introduces me, and he's doing an interview for Figaro because her father said the reporter for this, you know, is sick. You got to go do this interview. So she called me. So then Robert Plant comes down.
Oh,
sits,
my God.
And they sit at the table. And they're very... And Jimmy Page has this quiet little voice. And he talks. And I had never heard the man speak. And I was, you know... So it's 1973. No, it's 1977 probably. And they're in for, something. And she's asking these guys these questions. Now, the only thing that I really remember was this. Jimmy Page said... When she was asking him about, you know, when did you know Zeppelin was going to be what it is today? And it was huge at that point. And he goes, it wasn't until we finished the third album that I knew that this was the band. And she asked Robert Plant. And like, Robert Plant is a totally different being than Jimmy Page. Robert Plant is like Adonis.
Right.
He's got this huge head of golden locks. He's got broad shoulders. He's tall. And you know, he at the time he had this, you know, this really pretty face almost, you know? And he was just sitting and he goes, I knew when we started Train Kept Rolling at the first rehearsal that this was gonna be the band. And Jimmy just looked at him and he looked back at Mary and said,
we don't do that song.
And he said, I didn't. Because I didn't know that this was going to be the band that it is until the third record. And he just smiled at Robert Plant. And I'm just sitting there like this with my mouth open going, am I really here? You know, am I really here listening to this? So it was that's my story. That's my Zeppelin story. And I got to
tell you. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those like.
That'd be surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're still young, and you're like, these guys are doing what I want to do, and I don't know if I'll ever do it. You know? I don't know if I'll ever do it. How'd they get there? And they've been through shit I'll never go through. And that's what you think. But it's not real. It's not true.
Yeah.
You can do it, too.
Yeah.
You can do it, too.
Why not you, right? Why not?
If somebody did it, I can.
Yeah.
That was my motto.
Yeah.
If you did it, then I'll figure out how I can do it.
Right.
And I'll do it. and I'll just quit.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I never did it is because I quit,
yeah.
Not because I couldn't.
Yeah.
You told me a similar story about building your own amplifiers, right? Isn't that kind of how you got into doing that thing?
So, yeah. So amplifiers are physical universe creations. They're just matter. They're just wood and like pencils or, you know, wood and graphite. You know, I said, I don't like that there's a mystery about why there's 6 or 7 pins on the bottom of a tube, a vacuum tube, and I don't know what that means. I know what the 2 terminals are on a battery do.
Right.
I know what comes out of that wall socket over there. I understand that, but that's so basic, I don't get the tube thing. So when I got really disgusted with school, I hated school all my life, but I really hated it when I went to college because it was so insane. I don't want to go. That's another podcast. But when I decided I was going to not do that anymore, my mother said, you're going to pay me rent or you're going to learn a trade. So right. I said electronics. So I went to electronics school. And I learned electronics. And I basically learned immediately. The mystery went away about, you know, what resistors and capacitors right. and inductors and pots and all. I understood them completely within 6 months.
Right.
So completely that I wasn't just going to be able to repair these things. I could build. I could engineer it. So I said, you know, my amps, they sound good. But now I understand how they sound the way they do. So now I'm going to take these amplifiers and I'm going to modify them and I'm going to see what it does. Oh boy, that was
the start of something.
That was it, man. That was like all of a sudden I was Thomas Edison. How am I going to make a light bulb glow
right.
without burning out? All right, I'm going to make amplifiers sound unbelievable. So I went to work. You know, fixing. Believe it or not, fixing electronics. But the guy that I worked for was the only guy in the southern part of the United States that could repair pipe organs. That's a huge other
yeah.
technology. That's wind
yeah.
and tubes, you know, and yeah. valves that right. let air into the tubes that go, yeah. you know. So while I was working for him, I had a bench in his shop, and when we weren't out repairing pipe organs, I was fixing farfises. You know,
I didn't know that. I got one over there that needs work.
And Hammonds. I was fixing B3s and C3s, and they were bringing them in, and I was repairing them. And Leslie's and everything else. But the biggest part of that was that I was taking amplifier. I bought an Orange 120 graphic back then. I had a Hi-Watt that I bought. I had a Marshall that I bought, 2 Marshalls that I bought. And I was going in these amplifiers with an oscilloscope and a signal generator, and I was looking at what happened in every stage, and then I was plugging my guitar in and playing it to see what that sounded like. Then I would do something. I would change something. And I could get technical about what I changed,
right.
but it's going to bore people. But it put me into the position where I said, you know what? I'm just going to start from scratch, and I'm going to build my amplifiers.
Mm.
And I started – and the problem when you can do this – is that you never stop chasing, like, what if I do this? What if I do that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got like 7 amplifiers floating around the 30-mile radius of here. and I'm always doing something to another one and changing it and building it.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you that you eventually arrive at a point where you have something that you love. And when you get it, there isn't anything else like it.
Yeah.
There isn't anything else like it. And it's alive.
It's your own creation.
It's my own creation.
Yeah.
It's my own creation. So, yeah, I've been building amplifiers since I was 19.
Wow.
You're a smart motherfucker. If I never told you that before.
It's not smart. It's obsessive. It's, you know what it is? It's like if you can think, you can do. Yeah. So I just said, well, it's just data. Why not understand it? Right?
Right. I know exactly what you're saying.
It's just data. It's just, yeah. I mean, it can be understood.
Yeah.
There's no mystery.
With computers, the same thing. It's, you know, it's a computer. it's supposed to do this, and you can do it, but you got to sit down and you got to figure out how to do it. People are afraid to go, I can't touch this computer. I'm going to screw this computer up. No, that's you just right. got to start doing stuff. You got to start
slamming.
Clicking. You just got to start slamming.
Just yeah.
Yeah, start clicking yep. on stuff. Start it's right. not going to blow up.
No. And if it does, get another one.
Exactly.
Get another one.
Or just restart
Fix
it. Just
yeah, restart it. Just turn it off. Unplug it. Wait right. a couple of minutes. Start it up again.
Just
it'll probably be fine.
Reboot, you'll be
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, reboot, you'll be fine. That's right.
That, I get that all the time here at the studio. Oh, you got a Mac? Oh, you know, that's so complicated. I said, really? Just click on the fucking, you know, icon there. Yeah. Click on the app. It's not that difficult.
It's not that
hard. It's like a PC. Same shit.
You know, I don't really know PCs that well. They seem far, far more complicated than a Mac. I think a Mac was built to be
user-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think anybody that knows a PC knows yeah. it. So it's not complicated if you know it. Just like building an amplifier is not complicated if you right. understand it. But I mean, look, Mac was built for artists. It was built
yeah.
for visual artists, and it was absolutely built for recording music.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, thank God for that.
Thank God for that. Thank God for that.
Some people wouldn't say that because it probably ruined the industry, but, you know.
Nah, that's just people who like PCs. There's people out there with pet peeves. I'll use anything that works.
I mean, the difference yeah. between, you know, recording on tape and recording in the computer, but that's a 12 other podcasts. So.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the same thing has gone down right. with visuals, with the camera. And, you know, I've got guys mm-hmm. that say, oh, well, you don't shoot film anymore. Don't you feel like you abandoned the purest photography in you? I was like, I make pictures.
Yeah.
I make pictures, man. And you know what? If that picture is going to be published, 30 years ago, it was scanned and it became digital.
Right.
So you never saw it unless it was digital. First.
Right.
So, or second. So, stop.
Right.
Stop. You're putting ink on paper to look at it.
It's so much easier now, too, with this.
There is no compromise.
There isn't.
There is no compromise. In fact, I can do anything. Here's the deal. A photographer creates a picture that's in his mind, and he enhances it to achieve satisfaction mm-hmm. for his aesthetic demands. As does a songwriter, write a song and records it to achieve its standard to his right. aesthetic demands. If you didn't have copper wire and iron, you couldn't build a tape recorder. There is no difference between a tape recorder doing analog recording and a computer now doing digital recording. If the song is good, the person who hears it is going to hear a great song.
Right.
And they don't know or care if it went through copper wire and a magnet or a computer
right.
to get to their ears. They don't care. So it still comes down to, did you write a great song and how great is it?
Right.
Because if it's landing in your ears, who cares how it got there?
Yeah.
If it's reading on your retina, who cares how you shot it?
Right.
This is belligerent stupidity to me. This is chasing an anal idea for the sake of being of having altitude. Go fuck yourself.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
Go fuck yourself. Because if I create something great, it's going to be great. And if it was shot with a digital camera and you think it would have been better if I shot it on film, you're nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You're nuts. You're nuts.
That is crazy.
Yeah, you're nuts. I made that image.
Regardless of what you use,
Right. I made that image. Fuck off.
You know, there was a... I'm not sure when I saw it, but there was a great version of Can't Find My Way Home that he was just doing in front of his fireplace and singing and playing acoustic guitar. And that's the epitome of it. You know, it's just a great song.
I saw it.
You know, playing acoustic guitar and singing a great melody and, you know, all the production in the world, even on the recorded version of it, you know, the Blind Faith record, it's still pretty sparse, but, you know, does have Eric Clapton, of course. But,
yeah.
You know, still, you know. To hear Stevie Winwood do that, and just him playing and singing, just a guitar and a voice, man. That's a great song, you know. So, yeah.
At the end of the day, I saw him the same, probably the same session, because I saw it. It was like he's got a studio. This with a fireplace.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. Yeah, it was just
John Barleycorn.
Yeah,
you know that song.
That? Yeah, he was doing that. Yeah,
he did. He did it in the same setting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Look, I must have watched both of those. All more. It was a Sunday morning.
Yeah,
probably for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's just
two tunes.
Just McCartney could do the same thing. It just the greats, you know. I mean, it's a guitar and a voice or a piano and a voice. I mean, it's all it should take to move you, you know.
Well, when they have it, it does. When they have it, it does. So, and that's the simplicity of it. And you know, you can chase everything in the whole world you want to chase, but it's just if the magic is in that performance, God,
yeah,
that's what we try to do.
That's what I try and tell, you know, a lot of the kids that come in, you know. Not so much kids, you know, but, you know, everybody's chasing this, you know, they want to sound like Bonham, or they want this guitar sound like, you know, whoever, and, you know, they want this, they want that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, is it serving the song? You know, I mean, I realize, you know, that's where we're at in, you know, 2019 making records, you know, but, you know, let's make the song better. Let's make the arrangement better. Let's make the, you know, the parts better, you know, as opposed to worrying about, you know, how great the kick drum is going to sound, or, you know,
right. Listen
to the direct sound of the bass. Oh, my God, what a great, you know, listen to the bottom of the snare. Oh, my God, that's amazing. You know, it's like, really?
You still got to play it.
Yeah.
When Tiger used to record, it was, for me, we were always chasing the tune.
Right.
You know, I mean, I always like to experiment with the technical approach to how you record a guitar, or how I might put my amplifier under a grand piano and put the a microphone on the strings of the piano, see,
yeah,
what kind
vibrations,
of vibrations would come up. And all of those things are great exercises, and you definitely learn. You learn things about it. But the real achievement is in the creation of a great idea, a musical idea. And so when and I've always found that if you got guys in a studio and you're going to throw down and you're going to play, here's my viewpoint. Play the song, record it. But just basic tracks. Go back in the control room and listen. Now, if there's something you want to change, go back out and do it again and see if you can get that change that you want.
Right.
Don't get tangled up in anything else. Just go play it, then come back and listen.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you start to get your objectivity. And now you start to become more causative over getting what you're chasing, as opposed to getting tangled up in, oh, no, you know, maybe that mic ought to be a half an inch lower under the snare drum springs.
Right.
Are you fucking kidding me? Really?
Yeah, just play it, man.
Just play it. You know what? Yeah. You want to hear that snare drum? Hit it.
Hit it. Hit it harder.
Hit it. Play that snare drum the way you like it to sound.
Right. Right.
You know, you want to hear that kick drum? You use your right foot.
Yeah.
Man, slam it. Make it sound right. Or pity pat. Whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
Make it sound the way you want it. It comes from you. It doesn't come from that mic or this. Or that's a good way of capturing it. But, man, if you're making it and you got a good engineer, and, you know, I don't know anybody like Joey. Joey's a dying breed, like music is a dying breed.
For sure.
You know, to get somebody that can actually go in a room and listen to something and then make it sound like that when it's recorded.
Yep.
And it sounds just like it sounds in that room, which everybody wants and nobody can actually do.
Yeah.
You know, I remember doing that, man. My guitar sounds fucking amazing. It sounds like shit coming out of those speakers. Why is that?
Why is that?
I want to know, because I want it fixed.
Well, because Joe wasn't recording
because
it.
Because Joe
why.
Wasn't recording it.
You guys are too kind, but, you know.
But that's true. That's true. That is true. So when you get, here's my point. Play it right. Right.
Yeah.
Play it right, man.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. All of it is simple. Work at it until you have made it great.
You know, Andy Johns told me a great story. I was fortunate enough to work with him a few times here at the studio. And he said, you know, he said a monkey could have recorded Bonham. He said it was him. You know, it was him at, you know, the sound was there at the drums.
Two mics.
You didn't you need to do a lot to it. You know,
right.
It was, you know, all you had to do was really put a microphone up and it was going to sound like that. So, you know, there are certainly many instances where I've, you know, come into that situation where I have the same drum set up for, you know, three or four sessions, just for whatever reason, four different guys are playing it. It sounds like four different drum sets, you know. Yeah. So it's definitely, you know, a lot has to do with the player. But again, all that shit aside, you know, it's still about the song. So
it's still about the song. But you know what? You know that, and that's why this place still exists, and that magic still continues. And I hope, you know, the remaining years that a place like this exists and continues, and a person like you continues to feed it and create that atmosphere. You know, I hope that it's understood, recognized, and acknowledged, because it is not common anymore.
Oh, you're too kind, you know. But
I'm honest.
I've certainly been blessed, you know. The good Lord has given me more than any man should really have, you know. But I still come here every day, and I'm, you know, still inspired to do what I do. So as long as He gives me that every morning, and I wake up, and I still want to come here and do what I do, well, I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, another 30 years or more.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So. Look, man, my grandma lived 101 good years.
God bless her.
Yeah. She was born in 1904.
Wow.
And she went 101 really, really good years, and she didn't die feeble.
Yeah.
That's the key, isn't it?
I'm looking for 130 good years. I figure I came two generations after her.
All right.
We got better situations. I'm more cognizant of taking care of myself.
Right.
You know, I feel like I'm pretty young, 62, almost 63 years old, and I want to go. I haven't hit midlife yet.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm going for this.
Well, you look great, man.
Oh, awesome. Thanks.
I don't want to end this podcast, man. This has been awesome, dude.
We just got to do it again.
Coming back and do it again for sure.
I love having you, man.
Cool, man.
You're awesome.
Dave Excellent, Springer, man. The rock singer, man.
Dave Springer, rock and roll singer. That's what they call me.
I saw you on Facebook today. That's why you look familiar, because we're friends on Facebook.
No, we're not, but
I think we are.
I've been stalking you. I was stalking you on Facebook today. Man. I was watching you.
So then we'll connect.
I'll friend you on Facebook.
Sure. Yeah, either way.
I saw you on it because I was going through the Dark Horse stuff. I said, I was watching some videos and stuff, and I saw your
So you're
your
too Facebook. Young to have been around in the Tiger Days.
I was
days.
A freshman in high school when you guys broke up. In
82.
Yeah.
That was the end of 82.
Yeah.
So you started
just
freshman year in September.
Just missed it.
And we ended in September of 82.
All I can say is that it was an amazing time, and, you know, I am fortunate to have seen it and been there. You know, it was something to live through.
Let me tell you something. That was that whole experience of creating Tiger and having the success we had set me up to know that anything I ever wanted to do the rest of my life, all I had to do was stay on it, and I would get it. Because that's all White Tiger was.
Yeah.
You know? And again, you know, you got to have the only birth gift that I came in with was being capable of reading and understanding people. I mean, everything else I worked at, playing the guitar, I struggled with that motherfucker, man. That was not an easy instrument
to practice,
get.
Man.
That was a lot of. I started when I was 10, and I was probably 17 before anybody would want to hear anything I was doing. I was just running the cats out of the neighborhood up until then, man. It was just scaring people. But the thing that I did learn was that if Tiger was evidence of that, was that if you put the right chemistry together, you really have to be nuked to fail.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to come in and just, you know, annihilate you to fail, because the chemistry alone will set its own fire.
Yeah.
And you can't put that out.
No, you can't.
You can't put it out.
You can't.
And you couldn't put Tiger's fire out, man.
You don't want to put it out.
And nobody wants to.
Yeah.
Except, you know, people who are jealous, which that's only a handful.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
happens.
Fuck them. Fuck them anyway. Yeah, go.
We got an email, surefiresessions@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. If you got questions, you guys want some questions answered, anything, let us know. Let us hear from you. All right? So We're going to wrap it up. Dan, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me, man. It was great.
It was a great time, man.
I hope I didn't talk too much. I have a tendency
to plenty,
ramble. You
talked plenty, man. Don't worry about it. Thanks, Joe, yeah, man.
My wife always says, will you land the fucking plane?
We're coming in for a landing right now, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it.
See ya.
Keep on rocking.
All right. See you guys.
And recording.
Yeah, you go.